All right, welcome back to the Cancer Project with Cancer and Company. I think we got all the technical details worked out. On the line with us now is Four Star Mary. You there, guys?
Yeah, hey, Cancer, how you doing?
Hey, great. Well, that's much better. You sound much, much better. For any of you unaware, you guys, Four Star Mary is probably the biggest Buffy band out there. Do you guys mind that association with Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Oh, not at all. I mean, it's great for us.
Yeah, it's so we got Tad, lead vocals, Steve bass, and Zoo on guitar.
Yep, that's me.
Great, great.
We kicked Steve off the phone for the minute. We'll share.
All right. Well, before we begin, why don't you guys tell us how your band began and how long you've been performing?
We've been together for about 4 years, and we all come from different parts of the country, and we just started off. Zoo and I started off about 4 years ago, just basically auditioning people and, you know, that sort of thing. Typical LA.
Yeah, which for Hollywood bands, that's relatively a short amount of time. For the amount of success that you've had, anyways.
Well, we were pretty particular about, you know, the people that we wanted in the band, so people, you know, probably didn't even want to be in our band after we told them what we were expecting from them.
Ah, okay. So what I want to know is how Four Star Mary became Oz's band on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. How'd you guys land that?
You know what? I'm going to give the phone to Steve. Steve is pretty much, he knows that, how, you know, we're associated with Buffy and how we got on that.
Say hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, so how did Four Star Mary become Oz's band on Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Well, the whole thing about the goat sacrifices on stage during our shows, that's not true. I know a lot of people like to talk about that. It's kind of one of those rumors that just got out and kept going. But we've actually never sacrificed a live goat on stage.
Okay.
So I think it's really important that we get that. It wasn't a goat, and what it is isn't important.
What was it?
It's not. Get it out there that it was not a goat.
Was it
a bloody mess? That's all we can say.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of litigation going on. There's a lot of reasons why, but it wasn't a goat.
Was it a breathing creature?
My lawyer told me not to answer.
Okay.
But it wasn't. The involvement with Buddy actually happened because I was at a party, doing what's called craft service in this town.
It's
a nice name for being a waiter. And I put our tape into the boombox that was playing at the party, and some guy came up to me and said, "Hey, what band is this?" And I was like, "Why?" Because I thought I was about to get busted. And he's like, "Oh, well, I do music for this TV show, and we really need bands." And so I was like, "Oh, well, my band." And he asked for a tape, asked for a CD, and was going to have us appear as one of the bands that appear in The Bronze.
Yep.
Which, I mean, was groovy. I mean, he told me about it when I gave him the CD. He's like, "Yeah, we have bands appear on the show, and I want you to be one of the bands, and we don't have a lot of budget, and I really like using independent music." His name is John King, and he was actually in a couple bands back in Baltimore. And so he likes to support independent bands, because that's his roots. That's where he's from. And then about 3 weeks later, he called up, and he's like, "Oh, I got good news, I got bad news." I'm like, "Well, what's the good news?" Like, "Well, we definitely want to use your band." I was like, "Well, that's great." He's like, "Yeah, but we want to use it to provide music for this fictitious band that's going to be on the show." And I'm like, "Well, what does that mean?" He's like, "Well, there's going to be a bunch of actors lip-singing your song." And so I'm like, "Well, do I get paid?" He's like, "Yeah." And well, then I'm fine with it. So,
well, you guys did appear on an episode of Buffy also, right?
We did much later.
Yeah.
I mean,
you did Run, correct?
It's funny. I mean, his whole concern was that we wouldn't get enough exposure because they were going to have other people lip-syncing our songs, but the actual result was we've had more songs on the show than any other band.
Oh, by far.
And then we became part of the family, and Chris Beck, the composer for the show, wanted to be in an episode and be on screen, and so the Joss was like, "Well, Chris is going to be on screen, and Four Star Mary should be on screen." So we actually, the season finale of last year, where Giles was having his little dream sequence and went up on stage and started singing.
Yep.
That was us on stage playing the music for him.
Okay. Great.
So it's kind of and it was Chris Beck too. Chris Beck was playing piano.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been involved with some of the background music too, right? Besides just the Oz's band.
Well, they've used our songs for they've used our songs for everything you can use music for on a TV show. They've used it for background music, they've used it for cues, Basically, when you know one of the characters is looking in the Dingoes at My Baby poster, and one of our songs will come, I Have a Radio, and they've used it for actual scenes where Dingoes at My Baby are there.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And even when we're not playing, they've made fun of us. So. We are as embedded in the Buffyverse as you can be.
Uh-huh. Now, in addition to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you've been involved with shows Party of Five and The Real World?
Yeah.
Is that true? What kind of work have you done on those programs?
Same thing. Background music? All these TV shows keep libraries of CDs for when they need music for a scene, and the music supervisors obviously will choose from stuff that they like, and we've had songs coming out of radios and Harley Davidson bike shops on Party of Five.
Uh-huh.
We've had songs coming out of radios on the beach when the character's off the beach on Party of Five. And we've had our allotment of songs on MTV, The Real World, and Road Rules, I think.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the one that I saw, you know, it's hard, you can't keep up on these things. It's like, these field studies in music, and they're like, okay, great. But to try to track down the episode and actually see it, sometimes it doesn't happen. But I saw an episode of Road Rules one time where some guy was doing a log thing. You know, when you got a log in the water and you're like trying to get the other guy to fall off.
Yeah, log rolling.
Yeah, log rolling. That's it.
Was Real World?
Real World.
Ted's correcting me.
It's a big thing down south.
He never does that. yeah, and there's like one of our songs, just the intro is like looped. So it's like over and over and over again, the intro to our song. It's hysterical. I'm like, well, there you go. We're going to be huge for the lumberjack demographic. Yeah.
2 weeks ago, you guys did a show out in the Gig Hollywood, and I was fortunate enough to see it. You were there with Darling Violetta, Velvet Chain, and a surprise set by James Marsters, otherwise known as Spike. You guys got a lot of great energy. I was really amazed. I'd never seen you live before. I had heard your music, and I was actually out there because of Darling Violetta. But, yeah, you really surprised me when you took the stage. You had an amazing amount of energy, and just really strong, a strong presence. No.
Well, I mean, that's the reason you start a band, is because you love being on stage. I mean, I don't know. I don't personally know anyone who's gone into music thinking, yeah, I'm going to make a ton of money. I'm going to go into music. You do it because you love getting up on stage in front of a bunch of people and getting your rocks off.
Mm-hmm. And so, I would love to go into the whole diva thing, but I couldn't do it justice. I couldn't explain it to the audience, so I'll just let it lay there. But
our lawyer advised us against that one.
I'll just say the look on Erica's face when she came out after your first song was priceless. All right.
Yeah,
it's all about spreading the love.
It's all about love. It's not about nothing else but love.
So, all right, are you guys working on any projects currently? Are you working on new songs? What are you doing?
Actually, we're in the process right now of recording tracks for our next record that should be due out in May, June-ish. It's in that pre-production mode where we're all locking ourselves away up in the room. And with our little tape recorders and just, you know, banging songs out. And we've got about 12 to 15 of them ready to go that we're going to, do more complete demos on them and then, write some more. And then we'll pick probably our favorite 12 or 14 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And in February, we plan on going in the studio and recording them for the next record, which we have yet to name, but hopefully it will come out.
Well, great. It's not too far future.
Yeah, we're going to, we figure, spend a month or so recording it. You know, we get it. We can get music to the masses so much quicker through, everything has to, happen so much quicker now. You can be recording in, one month you've got the recording in your, in the studio. Next month it can be out on the internet. Available, people can get it by what you know right away. You don't have to worry about stocking stores immediately and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
It's immediate gratification.
Yeah, the music distribution scene has definitely changed over the last few years.
Absolutely. And we're trying to, it's just good for the music fan because they don't have to wait 3 months for, for advanced publicity and all that other stuff for a record. That stuff can still happen, but for those that want it right away, we might put out an MP3 just to kind of wet everyone's whistle or something.
So I imagine you guys are on the Napster side of things then with the whole MP3 issue? I know it's a tough question.
The band is divided on that. Napster, in essence, is, as far as a vehicle to use if we decide that we want to allow something available,
yeah,
we totally are behind that, and we want people, you know what I mean, our songs are strong enough that if you hear one of our songs, we give you one of our songs or two of our songs or whatever, we give them to you and say, hey, this is, you know, this is what we're about, check out our record, you know, hear some sound, you know what I mean, the fan of the music is going to go out and buy the record.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody takes the whole record, bars it from their friend and rips it, you know what I mean, and burns all the whole record, and then it's spattered within a matter of hours throughout the country and the universe, you know what I mean? That definitely tends to hurt artists in the long run, you know what I mean? But
yes, it does.
Fans will always buy the record. It just, you know, they need to see the picture of Tad and
myself. Yeah, record sales continue to climb every year.
I'm sorry?
Record sales have continued to climb across the industry.
Absolutely.
Every year.
You know, people are not going to stop buying records. What is happening is that there's a new media of people getting them so they can have them on their computer, you know, but the people that still want to take them in their cars and
well, so you know, the newest car stereos play MP3s.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. But, you know, the record industry in general is going to have to embrace the MP3, the digital format, because it creates a link from the artist directly to the fans where, you know, like I said, you can record something in your basement. We can record our rehearsal tonight, put it on the internet tomorrow, and everyone can hear, hey, these are what the new songs are sounding like. We should actually do that, guys.
Hey, that's a good idea.
We should do that. Hey, what do you think of the new songs? Here's some rough demos.
There you go. Now, what is the ClubMP3.com 50 City Summer 2000 tour?
That tour, we actually, we did that this past summer, where there was MP3.com and what was it, IndieNet went out and got a big bus, and they put it was they were stressing a lot of independent artists that were not talking bands on Warner and et cetera. It was all independent artists, and they were on a 50 city tour, and it was headlined by Emily Richards. She was like the main. She played every show. But what was great is that they would pick an MP3 artist in every town that they were playing in, and then they could be the local support act. And we got to do, they would have other bands that played like maybe the West Coast Swing or the Central Swing or the East Coast Swing. And we were the band that did the West Coast Swing and played House of Blues and Santa Cruz and stuff.
So, oh, okay.
It was good fun, you know what I mean? Anything that gets us out of Los Angeles and plays cities out of the area is really good for us and the fans.
Well, Four Star Mary is definitely international. In 1997, you did a show in Paris, and you're recently back from a tour in England, isn't that right?
Right.
So how was that, being in England?
Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. The funny thing was, we didn't realize how big the whole fan base we had in England. And just getting over the Buffy fan base really just propelled that to a completely different level. I mean, we weren't prepared for the reaction. I mean, getting off the plane and you have fans waiting at the airport with signs, and we had this one kid, you know, his parents drove him 3 hours to get to the airport just to meet us because he couldn't get into any of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from L.A., jaded L.A., you don't get that kind of fan support at all the shows. So, I mean, the whole tour was just absolutely amazing. Every show was just basically sold out. And it was incredible. I mean, people wanting to buy merchandise, like, they want to buy every one of our T-shirts double because they want us to sign it, and then, you know, they want one to wear. You know, we weren't prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really anxious to really spread our wings out from L.A. even more. But this time we really want to get back to Europe for a larger tour, but we also want to get across the U.S. because we have a lot of fans in the U.S. that we feel we're neglecting.
So did anybody make brownies for Tad in England?
There were a couple of things. That were
Cadbury chocolate is what it was.
I just want to say, I don't need any more stuffed animals.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, the kids that I donated them to, that was great, but
yeah.
I really don't have any more room in my luggage, okay?
You got great fans. I mean, they bake for you. I mean, what else could you ask for?
Hey, I'm telling you, we had fans that, you know, they put us up, they would, you know, buy us meals, they would cater meals for us, buy us drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just the greatest that we really, you know, when you have artists saying, oh, we want to thank the fans, you know, and it sounds so cheesy, but for us, our fans are just absolutely overwhelming. They're so loyal and just really great.
Okay. Well, what does the future hold for Four Star Mary? Do you guys have any upcoming tours? I mean, you mentioned the album.
Oh, absolutely. We're actually going back to Europe for probably a 2-month stint in June and July, possibly May and June. We're going to do a small tour of the South starting in March, and we are going to start recording the new album.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Throne of the Wolves is currently available in the States at Tower Records and online at both TowerRecords.com and TowerEurope.com. I didn't even know there was a TowerEurope.com. Their self-titled EP is available via Amazon.com. If you're in the L.A. area, don't miss Four Star Mary this Wednesday, December 6th at the Hard Rock Cafe on Beverly Boulevard in Beverly Hills with Test Pilot. Showtime 10 p.m., all ages. And Friday, December 8th at the Lighthouse in Hermosa Beach with Barbie Killed Ken. Showtime at 10 o'clock. Now, I've seen their live set at Rocks. You guys have great energy and sound, like I said. If you're out there, you definitely want to see that show. For more information about Four Star Mary, visit their website at www.fourstarmary.com, where you can find T-shirts, mugs, and other Four Star swag. And is there anything else you guys would like to add?
Just want to say thanks again, Cancer, for having us on here. That was great.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
Yeah, it was a great honor. I love your guys' music. And
well,
thanks.
You need to get down to L.A. again.
Yeah, you should come over for this next week, and then we'll bring you on stage, and you can rock out with us real hard.
Oh, God, that would be... Well, I go to L.A. about once a month, so I will definitely catch your guys' show again.
Well, and also, hey, Cancer, I also wanted to say thanks to Darling Violetta for introducing... us to you and all that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if they told you or not, but they're going to be on the program next week, but they are coming to Tempe on the 16th, which is 2 Saturdays from now.
Right, I'm trying to bribe Cammy to take me in her luggage.
Ah, so you guys do know about it. Yeah, it's going to be a great show. It looks to be a lot of fun. Real different type of crowd, and I think it'll be good all the way around.
Yeah, they're really excited about it. We just talked to them just the other night.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, if nothing else, like I said, we're going to be taping it, so there will be footage on VampireRadio.com.
Great.
Thanks, Ted. I will be in contact with you guys, because, like I said, I really love your guys' band, and, yeah, I will definitely plan a trip out there to L.A. for one of your future shows.
Great.
Got it, brother.
So, here is Pain by Four Star Mary. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Cancer.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There's a killer in me, hoping that that you're the one, but you always run away.